hunger, and people are then looking at the church and wondering why they don't see the Jesus that is portrayed in the Bible. They don't see that lived out all the time, or even often authentically in our lives. So that's kind of one of the reasons why many people are suspicious of used car salesmen. It's called the bait and switch. Looks really pretty on the outside, but inside it's, you know, needs a new camshaft, and, you know, the brakes are no good. And it was, you know, previous owner was not the little old lady from Pasadena, but was a 17-year-old from Clear Lake. All right. People look at the church and individual Christians, and they wonder why at times they don't see any difference. They see Christians cheating in their businesses, cheating on their spouses, cheating on their taxes. They see gossip. They see division. They see all those things. And I'm not pointing a finger at any specific church. I've just been around a long time. And I'm a student of church history. And so the issue then is, it's not God's fault that we haven't gotten it together. I believe that our culture longs to see real Christians, not perfect Christians, but real Christians, authentic Christians. Well, we want to approach this in the context of 1 month to live, because today we want to talk about living passionately for God. Now, this verse, the one that's coming up in Matthew 22:34-40, the background of this verse is that the Pharisees were testing Jesus, asking him the highly debated question of the day. Now, at the time of Jesus, we know that they had sorted it out. There were 613 laws that they needed to follow. Okay? And a good Pharisee or a good Jew would know every one of them. And they would debate because they didn't have TV and didn't have anything else to do. So they'd sit around and debating which one's the greatest. So they asked Christ. So let's look at this passage. It says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves and said, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends the whole law and the prophets. Well, it's interesting. Any good Orthodox Jew of the day, they literally would memorize and repeat that verse every single day. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, strength, and love yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. You know, and it wasn't doing any good. Because they thought that that meant following the 613 laws. Even though they didn't have a heart for God or a heart for people. I believe that Jesus is calling us here to authentic Christianity. It tells us that we're supposed to love God with everything. Not like the American way, which is hedge our bets and give God a piece of the pie, because, you know, we are Americans and you know, this is a democracy, and God, you get your vote and I get my, you know, God, you get your vote and I get my vote. And that's not how God works. God says, I get a vote, and that's what's important. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on what? Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And we somehow think that God can do that if we give Him a fraction of our dedication and a fraction of our attention. And he says, I can't do it. And then we wonder why things don't go well. Now, I want to stop right now by saying, does that mean if you give 100% of your money, 100% of your time, 100% of your talents, that you will never have a problem, you never have sickness. No, that's ridiculous. Because God is drawing you into the character of Christ, and that's his business. That's how he can do anything he wants, and he loves you, and he has a plan. But this month, as we explore the issue of 1 month to live, I have to say that it really must start right here, and that is our passion for God. Our passion for God. There are things that we have all done in our lives that we have been half-hearted. Have you ever gone to something at church half-heartedly? Right. Ever gone to a function, you know, a PTA meeting, or, you know, man, I don't want to go, but I got to go? I guess that's normal. But the Lord is saying, come to me with all of your heart, everything. And I believe this, that at times we hold back. So we want to look at, what does it mean to love God with all your heart? And I've wrestled with this, because I changed this sermon 3 times in the last 10 days. I was going to focus on one incident that happened in the Bible, and I'm going to talk about that at the very end. And then I thought about doing a sermon on just the word all. Of all the ways that God says, here's what I've done. Here's all the stuff I've done. And then comparing God's all to our all. So we're somewhere in between. This is what the Lord has laid upon my heart. What does it mean to love God with all your heart? First, we need to treasure God. Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, where your treasure is, what? There your heart also. What we treasure reflects our passion, and we have a passion for what we consider to be our treasure. Tomorrow morning, I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning to fly to Orlando. I'll meet up with a friend there, and we're going to then drive to Tampa, and we're going to spend time with one of our mentors, the guy we both worked for, a pastor, and he's not doing well. I don't know how much longer he'll live. Now, why am I doing that? Because I've been putting it off. I fell into the someday syndrome. Someday I'll go do that. He is one of the most important people in my Christian life. And both he, Bill and Jan, that's the husband and wife, instrumental for Sue and I as we were training in ministry. So I'm going with my best friend, Stan Lubeck, and in order to get to Sacramento, 6 o'clock flight, and they want me to check in an hour and a half early. So do the math. That means I got to leave my house when? I got to get up when? So I'm thinking, maybe I just drive over there and sleep in my car. The only reason I would do that, because there's something inside me that says, I must do it. Treasure. Our problem is we don't treasure God. Oh, you know, he's our Savior and our friend, and we'll visit him every once in a while, but he's not our treasure. Psalm 73, don't read it now, but read it later. The psalmist is having a very difficult time because the bad guys are getting away with everything. They're always got everything. Their kids go to the best schools. They never get sick. They're fat and happy. They laugh at us, and they're just getting away with murder. And I think that, man, maybe it's a mistake that I'm even following God. That's what Psalm 73 says. It says, then I went into the temple of God, and I perceived their end. I perceived their end. And he goes on, and he says, you know, these powerful words. He says, you know, the nearness to God is my strength, is my good. I mean, God is my portion. That's all I need is what God gives me. But when we lose sight of that we somehow, it just messes us up. We see people next to them, how come they got the new car? How come they never get it? How come their kids are doing fine? On and on and on. And God says, treasure me. Treasure me. A.W. Tozer said it this way. We may want God, but we want something else more. And we get what we want most. This morning, I ask us all the question. Do you treasure your relationship with Jesus Christ? So the first is we need to treasure God. Next, we need to have a passion for God. Now, what does it mean to have a passion? Now, it's more than just an emotional feeling. It's more than something sensual or romantic. So here's a Webster's definition. A strong, extravagant fondness, enthusiasm, or desire for something. So the question I ask myself, do I have a strong, extravagant fondness, enthusiasm, and desire for the Lord? That's what passion is. I could care less if you do anything else with this whole month, 1 month to live thing. Here's what I want all of us to think about. Are you passionately in love with Jesus Christ? Are you treasuring Christ above all things? And if you did nothing else but meditate on those two biblical truths, it would begin to rock your world, because we are passionately going after all kinds of stuff. I love the San Francisco Giants. But I'm not passionate enough to waste my money and go drive to San Francisco every day and you know, spend $200 on a couple tickets. I may do it once in a while. But you know what? God's saying, Gary, I bought you with a price. There are some great verses that talk about this level of passion for the Lord. 2 Chronicles 15, 15. All Judah rejoice, for they have sworn with their whole heart and have sought him with all their desire, and he let them find him. Let me read that again. All Judah rejoice, for they had sworn with their whole heart and had sought him with all their desire, and he let them find him. Psalm 42:1, very first psalm I ever memorized, the whole psalm. As a deer pants for water brooks, so my soul pants for you, God. Is that how I live my life? Waking up every morning, boy, Lord, I can't wait till I get time with you. Can't wait till I get into the Word. Can't wait till I tell you about my day and all the things I'm tempted to worry about. As a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you, God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 is in the Beatitudes Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I remember the prayer as a youth pastor for all many, many years. Oh, I prayed, Lord, that the youth that I was in shepherding would hunger and thirst for the things of God. And that has to be the prayer of any pastor, any parent, any grandparent. Oh, Lord, I pray that my children or grandchildren would hunger and thirst for the things of God. A passion. The challenge is that we can get fired up, and maybe today you're pretty fired up and things are running on all cylinders spiritually. Praise God. Can you run on all cylinders spiritually? Yeah, you can. Does that mean you don't need a tune-up every once in a while? No, but you can run. Gary, you must be preaching to someone else because I got this dialed in. But if you don't, here's two concepts I want to lay before you. Two categories of people who have a difficulty with having this passion. Is it, one, those who need a heart transplant, and those who have poor circulation? So we want to look at first the people who need a heart transplant. Here's what the Bible says. Listen to what the Bible says about our heart and passion for God. Genesis 8:21. The intent of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Let me read that again. The intent of a man's heart is evil from his youth. I've shared the story many times. I became an elementary school. I became a gang of kids I hung out with. We were stealers. We'd go to the local store and we'd shoplift. Well, who taught us? My grandparents didn't teach me. They would have backhanded me. You know, I have brought shame to the family. But the fact is, there's something about the heart of people from our youth that is wicked. We're born into sin, according to the book of Romans. 2 Chronicles 12:14 says, he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Friends, we need to set our heart to seek the Lord. Jeremiah 7:24. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. Did you get that? Jeremiah 7:24. They did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil heart. Tells me here about the heart, it is stubborn and it's evil. You say amen to that? Amen. And you may be saying, well, not me, but the person next to me for sure. Obviously. The heart is stubborn and evil. Well, let's keep going in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Now, check this out. It is beyond cure. Now, that's not a very good diagnosis. You go into your doctor. I go to Dr. Mays. Gary, got a problem. You're beyond cure. Right? We walk into God's presence. He says, you know, you're beyond cure. Friends, you can be here and you can have an interest in the things of God. You can have a desire for spiritual things. But you cannot have a true passion for God because you're incurable. Your heart's rotten. You can't fix it. So that sounds pretty depressing. We all just go home and say, well, let's eat, drink, and be merry because our heart's incurable. Well, I'm so glad that the Lord hasn't left it there. God describes how he will give you a heart transplant. Ezekiel 36:26-27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Friends, we need to start. If you're here today and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, he is the one who didn't try to cure your heart because it can't be cured. He came to give you a new heart. A new heart. And you can't get that just by going to church. You can't get that just by thinking happy thoughts. The Bible says we need a new heart because it's sick with sin. Our heart has hearts have condemned us to death and eternal separation from God. The only hope is a heart replacement, and that's what Jesus did. Hebrews 10:16-17. I will put my laws on their heart and upon their mind. I will write them, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Friends, there's only one hope. If you want to have a life of passion and you realize that you've never come to God for not the cure but for the transplant, that it comes through surrendering your life to the Lordship of Christ and what he did on the cross. He died on the cross for your sins, nailed them there, and when he rose again, he destroyed the power of death and sin. It says, to all who would receive that, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. Now, why would I share that? We're in church. We all know that. No, we don't all know that. I sat in a church for 17 years before I got it. 3 weeks ago, at Easter Sunday, I gave a similar invitation, and 8 people said, I need Jesus. So friends, the fact is that you can sit in a church just like you could sit in a synagogue and not get it. And so, to me, I mean, that's the most important thing, to get. If you have 1 day to live, 1 year to live, 1 month to live, you got to get this. Without coming to Christ, your heart is wicked and separated from Him. So you may say, well, what do I do then? Well, you cry out. It says those who cry out to Him, you will hear. Those who receive Him, you will receive. It says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We confess what Christ did and who He is, and we realize, God, I'm a sinner. Save me. I turn over my life to You. All of my heart to You. Now, I need to say this right now because it's confusing to some. At age 17, when I said to Jesus, I fell down on my knees in my front room of my house, I cried out, Jesus, if You're still there, please help me. Save me. And He did. Now, did I understand at age 17 how completely messed up I really was? Did I have here's the list of every sin, everything that's messed up that you're going to have to work? No. I just knew I was messed up. Did I have an understanding of how lordly and how magnificent and how powerful and over that Jesus was? No. I just knew He was God. And what He said was true. And in the 30 some odd years, 35 plus years of being a believer, I have grown more and more a clearer sense of how wicked my heart is and how awesome God is as I walk with Him. So maybe you have surrendered, and maybe God has given you that heart transplant. But you say, well, man, then how come I'm still having a hard time with my passion? Well, maybe you got clogged arteries spiritually. Maybe your arteries are clogged, and you're having a difficult time loving God. They're clogged with the things of the world. They're clogged with all the stuff He says, I want you to do. We said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, when I have a wedding coming up here, and I always take them to Colossians, you know, and because it's such a powerful passage. But here's what it says. As to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I mean, Colossians 3, verses 12 and following. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, into which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of God richly dwell in you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Friends, here's what happens. We say, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I believe in Christ. Yeah, He saved me. But then we don't do any of this stuff. We don't forgive. We don't love. The word there is powerful. Let Christ rule. The word there in the Greek language, let Him be the umpire of your life. And I don't care if you're the umpire, if you're up the bat and the pitcher's throwing stuff. If the umpire says it's a ball, it's a ball. And we find ourselves arguing with God. God says, don't do that, and we want to argue with God. God says, listen. So the issue then is that we need to love Him and want to follow Him and have that passion just be without question. Revelation chapter 4, verse 4 says, I have this against you, the church of Ephesus, that you have lost and left your first love. And perhaps that's true in your life today. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. I'm just preaching here today. But here's what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm preaching the Word of God, I believed, under the control of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying to all of us, have you lost your first love? Are you in love with something more than God? Are you treasuring something more than Him? The solution is, verse 5, remember therefore where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. The great thing about our walk with the Lord is that He says you can return. The word repent means you're going this way. Confession, Lord, I'm going the wrong way. I confess that. Repentance means going the right way. So don't tell someone you've repented if you keep doing the same thing. I wrote this down, so I want to get it right. Maybe you're here this morning and you look like you have it all together. No one would question your love for God, but you know that it's all on the outside. Inside, you've lost your passion, and it's getting hard to pretend. Have I ever pretended? Yeah. Have I ever pretended I had it all together? Now, I get, I'm up here every Sunday. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't share that. I think that's the nature of our humanity, is that I need a constant walk with the Lord. When He says, Gary, here's the great commandment, you need to love me with everything, all of it. I'm here to tell you today, I don't know if I do that all the time. I don't know if I'm fully engaged all the time. I desire to be. Centuries before He gave the law to Moses, the Ten Commandments in the law. Later on it says, you know what? You guys weren't able to, they weren't able to get to heaven by following the law. You know what the law did? It showed people their need for the grace of God. You know what the great commandment does? It shows me the heart of God, and that the only way that I can be all there is with His mercy and love and help. No excuses. Well, God, you know I'm not perfect, so I'm just going to be imperfect. No. It says, be perfect as God is perfect. And so our determination is not to not make excuses. But today here, you may be here today and realize that you got clogged arteries and your passion is all over the place. And God wants us to focus our passions upon Him. Treasure Him. Revelation 3, verse 3 says this. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Friends, it tells us to repent. Remember what the Lord has told us. James 4, 8. The hope we have is this. Draw near to God, and He will what? Draw near to you. Isn't that good news? No, I think I'm not going to, God doesn't play games like he's some junior high student. Now, nothing wrong, I was in junior high too. And here's how it works. Do you like Sally? I like Sally. Could you give her this note? Do you like Sally? No. Well, I don't like her either then. We think God's 14 years old or 13 years old. He's not. God doesn't play these games. God says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. In fact, God didn't move. Friends, do not allow sin to keep you from acquiring a strong, extravagant fondness and enthusiasm and desire for Jesus. Friends, we can love God with all of our heart. And here's the last thing. So we looked at how the fact that we need to treasure God and we need to have a passion next. We need to be motivated in all we do by our passion for God. Okay? It's got to be our motivation. So, how do we do that? How do we renew our passion or keep our passion fresh? Here's the first one. Worship and serve God out of love and not obligation. Don't answer this question out loud, but I want to throw it. You know, I believe that having a personal quiet time and spending time in the Word every day is extremely important. As important as it is, if I decided I'm no longer going to talk with my wife, Sue, just play a little game. I won't talk to her for a month. She would go, wow, that's weird. I wonder why Gary's not talking to me. Well, sometimes we stop talking to God, and God says, don't do that. But the fact is that we need to make sure that we're loving Him and serving Him, not out of obligation. Today, sometime today, I'll drive to the graveside where my mom's buried. She died at age 54. She's not there. She's in heaven. But if I don't do that today, I'm not going to not go to heaven. If I don't do that today, I'm not going to do it. But well, I better do this today because then I'll prove my love for my mother. No. You know why? Because I want to honor my mother and father. To me, it's an important thing. If that's not what someone else does, that's fine. But the fact is it's got to come from the inside. And it's my prayer that when you come to church or involved with a small group or you study your Bible, you realize that here's the absolute miracle, that the living God who created you says, I love you. I'm your shepherd. I'm your father. I'm your friend. I'm your savior. I'm your king. It's amazing. Friends, watch out for legalism. Man, I've been to some churches, they're just mean. They're just mean. Cut your hair. You know, wear this. Don't wear this. Use this. Wow. Friends, make sure that you don't fall into the issue of legalism. Make sure we also don't fall to the other extreme. Legalists think, here's the 613 rules I better do for God to love me, or before God will be cool with you. The other group is this, do whatever you want because God doesn't care. No, God cares. He says, love me with everything. So that's the first. Worship and serve God out of love. And I just want to say, when we come here and we're singing songs, they may not be your favorite song. You may say, well, man, how come they don't do my favorite song? Well, maybe we will do someday. But friends, the songs that we sing are for Him. You're going to have a chance. We're going to sing one more song. And, you know, not that by singing loud that necessarily means that you love God more. But I'm here. I'm in church a lot, okay? Been in a lot of services. And for whatever reason, there's some people, they never open their mouth. I don't get it. Maybe you're just meditating. You're just soaking in the good music from everybody else. That's fine. Don't want to be legalistic about it. But friends, we're here to worship the King of Kings. All right? So come in fully engaged. Next, make time to pursue God in personal Bible study and prayer. James 4:8, once again, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. I believe this, if you have a regular time, a personal Bible study and prayer, that God meets with you. I like to find special spots to do that. I need to find a spot where my attention is not diverted. So I have a new spot. You know, we're going to try to figure out some way to get a proper road to the top of the hill up here. But I sat there, and I'm on top of the hill looking at the cross, and you can see all the way over into, you know, to Hull Mountain and Snow Mountain and, you know, Anthony Peak. It was snow still on them, and having my quiet time up there, and it was great. I was disturbed because I heard this, and it was these woodpeckers pecking on the cross up there, so I had to send up a quick prayer, you know. The cross is a sturdy cross. So, anyways. Friends, if you want to renew your passion, you want to get those clogged arteries going, you spend some time with God. Next, have a time of sharing, praying, and talking about God with other people. That's called fellowship. That's called fellowship. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith and love and peace." Check this. "With those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart." We forget that part. We think that that verse is about fleeing youthful lust. It is. And pursuing righteousness. It is. Faith, love, and peace. But it says, do it with one another. I'm going to get this. You need to be committed to studying the Word and talking about and encouraging one another in a place other than just on Sunday morning in church. Because you can't really discuss it. We're not discussing right now. But there's great joy in that. You have people who care for you and you care for them. That's the body of Christ and how God has made us to work. Friends, if you're here and you're single or you're widowed or whatever, single mom or dad. You say, well, I don't have a... You have a family. You're part of God's family. And so... It's one of the things we get to offer to the world. A world that's fragmented. People who don't have grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles anymore. They're all living abroad or the nuclear family has been wiped out. You know, we have a family here. And I greatly appreciate that I grew up when I first came to Christ. And even though I grew up with both sets of grandparents and a great grandmother, and I had, you know, I was richly blessed. I walked into a church and you would come up to some of the older ladies and says, You just call me Grandma Irene. Okay? Well, then the next, you just call me Grandma Jody. Okay? Well, you had 50 other grandmothers. Why? Because that's how God has knit the body of Christ together. So worship and serve the Lord out of love, not obligation. Next, make time to pursue God personally in personal Bible study and prayer. Next, have a time of fellowship, sharing and praying with God's people. And lastly, bring people to Jesus or bring Jesus to people. Luke chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. This was going to be my sermon. Now it's just this. "And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went on the roof and let him down through the tiles with a stretcher into the middle of the crowd," get this, "in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.'" What a day. Friends, that's passion. It's passion for God and it's proper passion for people. And the passion for people is that we bring people to Jesus or we bring Jesus to people. And I love this story with these guys. I mean, they're coming up, big crowd, they got their friend on the stretcher. "Hey, Jesus is in town. Hey, there's Fred. He's paralyzed. Let's help him." And, "Well, how are we going to do that? Look at all these people." And they thought, "Well, let's think outside the box." They get up on top, remove some tiles, lower him. "Well, where do we do it?" "I don't know, but let's make sure he gets right in front of Jesus." And they did that. And the rest of the story is that Jesus would say, "Your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees were there and they said, "Well, how dare you say that? Only God can forgive sins." Then Jesus says, "In order to show you what the Son of Man has, goes not only power to forgive sins, goes, I tell you, rise and walk." And this guy got up. Friends, bring people to Christ. If I thought that the only way that happens by bringing in the church, I'd tell you that. But I wasn't reached by coming to church. People can be reached by coming to church, but I was reached the first time I heard the gospel was in a city park in Ukiah, California. A choir from Modesto, California were singing Christian songs in the park, and someone shared with me for the very first time the gospel of Christ. So you bring people to Jesus, or you bring Jesus to people. Friends, the only way that we can make it, the only way that we can make it is if we cry out to Him. His command to us is to love Him with all our everything. He's Lord or he's not Lord. And here's what I have to say. Then the only way I can love God with all of my heart is I need all of his help. We're going to sing a song now. More and more we're going to have the worship team doing songs and stuff at the end. But I wanted to do this one. And so here's the words. I want you to teach you this song if you don't know it. Okay, so let's say it with me. Please take from me my life when I don't have the strength to give it away to you. Please take from me my life when I don't have the strength to give it away to you, Jesus. So here's how we'll sing that one. It goes, please take from me my life when I don't have the strength to give it away to you. Please take from me my life when I don't have the strength to give it away to you, Jesus. One more time. Please take from me my life when I don't have the strength to give it away to you. Please take from me my life when I don't have the strength to give it away to you, Jesus. Now hear the rest of the song. How many times have I turned away? The number is the same as the sand on the shore. Every time you've taken me back, and now I pray you do it once more. Sing with me. Please take from me my life, and I don't have the strength to give it away to you. Please take from me my life, and I don't have the strength to give it away to you, Jesus. How many times have I turned away? The number is the same as the stars in the sky. Every time you've taken me back, now I pray you'll do it tonight. Stand with me. Please take from me my life, and I don't have the strength to give it away to you. Please take from me my life, and I don't have the strength to give it away to you, Jesus. One more time. Please take from me my life, and I don't have the strength to give it away to you. Please take from me my life, I don't have the strength to give it away. You cannot make it on your own, but you can make it with God. Treasure God above all things. Have a passion for Him that comes by surrendering yourself and coming to Him wholly, saying, God, I can't make it. Please, give me a new heart. And if today you've, for the first time, said, I need to surrender my life to Christ and receive Him as my Lord and my Savior, then I'd like you to do this, is take that little piece of paper in your bulletin, say, I want to receive Christ. You hand it to me, put it in a box, and we will contact you Or maybe you're here today and you say, man, my circulation is not too good. Lord, please clean out my arteries that my heart might pump strong for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we must cry out to you to take our heart that we may be constantly walking with you. We need your help, Father, and you always meant it that way, that we may depend upon your mercy and your grace. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you, and come back tonight if you can.